Welcome back. Good afternoon. This is Damon Gonzalez from the Slip Punches Show. We are back tonight with a special show. We thank everybody for tuning in. We thank you, everybody, for all your support. We're powered by RX Water and, of course, our brothers and sisters up at Empire Pro Tape in London. We thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us in our show. We have a special guest coming on tonight. He's in the middleweight division. Again, he has a really, really big fight coming up. So let's all welcome Cornflake, Thomas Lamana, to the show. Thomas Lamana, how you doing, champ?
Hi, Damon. How are you?
Great. It's really great to have you on, man. Look, yeah, I mean, let's face it. Let's look at it. You're a young fighter that's been around a while. You know, you started your career in Atlantic City back in 2011, yeah. And it's all been uphill since.
Yeah.
Talk about your journey with the fans that are tuning in, and it's really important to hear this because we love the journey you passed through.
Fact. Well, first, thank you for having me. You know, it seems as though my opponent is getting all the clout thus far. It's only been like 48 hours or whatever it is. And yeah, look, but the journey's been real. I turned pro in 2011, early 2011. And here I am now, you know, 35 fight veteran, self-promoter, self-manager, you know, took that route. You know, I was signed with a couple guys before, been let go. You know, they, you know, just, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, they didn't believe in me thing, but, you know, for whatever reason, they chose not to hold on to me. And, you know, here I am 10 years later, fighting for a world title.
Thomas, you like a few, and just a few, couple of young fighters, you've taken that journey to not just fight and put on the gloves, but also promote your own shows. Yeah. How difficult was that for you, or was that something that you really grasped with some really great confidence? How did that go for you?
So it was a mixture of both. It was a mixture of, it was very difficult, very time-consuming, very draining, very, you know, man, it's hard. Like, it's very hard. But then on the flip side, like, I felt as though I'm very confident in myself. I'm very confident in my ability, both inside the ring and outside the ring. And, you know, when we formulated, me and my mother formulated Rising Star Promotions, it was kind of like, you know, kind of second nature from being the victim of a lot of bad scenarios, and, you know, been screwed over a lot. And obviously we learned what not to do, which is the most important, I think, because it was done to us. You know what I mean? The wrong was done to us. And so it was kind of second nature, but very difficult. You know, a lot of time, a lot of stress, a lot of arguing, a lot of, you know, just mental strains. And it's like, you know, completely unnecessary, you know, for all the extra stuff. But at the end of the day, it got me to where I'm at. Got me to where I'm at, sorry. And, you know, I wouldn't take it back. You know, I wouldn't, like, redo it over again. You know, like, I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of what we did. And I'm proud of where it got me.
You know, us here at Latin Box Sports, we always follow you and support you and follow your career. And what's really cool about it is, you as a young fighter, you've already tasted defeat. You've had once or twice where, you know, you stepped into the ring, and of course, you know, it didn't work out as planned. Yeah. However, you as a young fighter, man, how much have you grown for that, preparing to go into the situation that we're about to talk about in a few minutes?
I just never gave up. Period. Never gave up. I got four lessons. That's what they are. I don't count them as losses. I count them as lessons. You know, two of them, people in the boxing world, one definitely, is very highly disputed. You know, another fight was, you know, people had their fair arguments and their fair debates about who really won the fight. And then the other two, you know, it just wasn't my night, hands down, you know. But at the end of the day, it made me a stronger fighter. It made me a more mature fighter. And, you know, like I said, I don't take L's as losses. They're lessons, you know, and I learned, you know what I mean? This is like school, you know what I mean? And when you fight, you're taking a test. So nothing just made me better. And, you know, I think now's the time where, you know, through everything, like there's literally come May 1st, I know I'm going to win the fight, but I would have achieved everything. And that's including fighting for a world title. Everything else thus far I've been through.
Good. Thomas, you haven't been sitting down. I mean, you just came January. You just came off of a KO win over this cat, Gonzalez.
Yeah.
And you've been active. Your hands have been hot.
Yeah.
Knowing going into this fight, May 1st,
yeah,
PBC on Fox, mm-hmm, fighting against Lara. This is a big fight. Talk to us when you got the phone call saying, hey, this is what's up in front of you. Yeah. Give us your thoughts on that call. And of course, going into this fight, talk about this fight on your sense.
Yeah. So shout out to Louis DeCubis, man. One of the best managers.
My man.
Hands out, the best manager in boxing. Advisor, manager, you know, whatever you want to call him. He's that's my guy. He never gave up on me. You know, Louis never gave up on me. From when I fought Jorge Cota, he kept his word. We're going to bring you back. I got the Mendoza fight. Got you know, blatantly robbed. Brought me right back. This time he brings me back again. So I know, obviously, we all know Lara is his, like his baby. But he did. He stuck to, you know, what he said he was going to do. And by the way, I've known about this fight since, like, mid-December. I know about like mid-December we was talking about it. And but like you said, I don't stop. I just go. I have the capability of just maneuvering myself and the skill set of bringing fights to Mexico, and you know, and especially during this crazy pandemic time, you know, it's like kind of the only thing that was open, unless you're like the PBCs or the top ranks of the world. You know, and some small, you know, some states that just started like really kicking in. But all last year, like there was really very limited opportunities to get fights, and Mexico is like a third world country. And so, you know, they don't, you know, they care, they have governments and rules, but they don't give a shit. Excuse my language, but, you know, we got it in. So like you said, I stayed busy. I stayed poised, and I stayed prayed up, and I knew something was going to come. And Louis called me one day and he said, yo, when are you fighting again? I said, well, shit, I just got over COVID. So I was supposed to fight a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I was going to fight a couple weeks.
Yeah, we lost your sound temporarily there. You with us?
I'm here.
There you go. All right.
Okay. Yeah, somebody called me. I'm sorry. Louis, so when you fight, you know, when you are fighting again, I just told him my whole scenario, and I told him when I'm coming back. He was like, okay, take care of that, and call me on the Monday after, and which I did, and he was like, all right, you're fighting Lara. I said, come on, stop. He was like, all right, just be ready for, originally it was March, be ready for March. And I said, word? He said, yeah. And, you know, we kept in touch. I'm like, all right, cool. But mind you, it was in December, early January. So I'm like, all right, cool. Take a good little week or two off. And, you know, I had fractured my hand in the fight. So, you know, I need a little break. So we stayed in touch. And then finally we spoke again. He asked me about the whole 160, if I was comfortable fighting at 160. I said, of course. Like, who's not going to take an extra 6 pounds? And I said, all right, you know, maybe it's probably going to be April, you know, it's looking like April. So, you know, just do your thing, get ready, you know, keep your weight down, whatever, because it still might be 54. So, all right. And then it was like 2 weeks ago. It was like 2 weeks ago. He called me and told me it was April 24th. It was supposed to be April 24th. And then cool, whatever. But, and then obviously, like, I found out the day before it got announced. So, like, 3-4 days ago, I found out it was on May 1st. And so that's how the whole fight happened. And And by the way, like, I've been gunning for Lara for a minute. You know what I mean? Like, I like, he's a world champion. He's an elite class world, you know, a caliber fighter. But, you know, I've been gunning for him, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, I'm also realistic. You know, I want the champions. Everybody wants the champions. You know what I mean? And I'm not wrong for wanting to fight the best. You know what I mean? But I'm also realistic. I can't. I know for a fact I'm not going to gun after Jermell Charlo, who's the king at 54 right now, because I know it will never happen. So I'm not going to look like an a-hole. You know what I mean? But a guy like Arisani Lara, who gets spoon-fed whatever the hell he wants, why not me? That's how I look at it. You know what I mean? So this has been going on for a minute. And by the way, when I fought Jorge Cota, the winner was supposed to fight Lara. I don't know why Jorge Cota opted not to fight him. That's, you know, whatever. But I was supposed to get that after Cota. But, you know, things happen how they happen. And anyway, here we are now. And what I think about the fight with Lara, man, it's a huge opportunity. I'm fighting a 45-year-old. You know what I mean? He's not 37. He's not 38, wherever the hell he is. He's an old man. So he's on the back end of his career. You know, he's going out, you know. I know they're setting him up to, you know, become the two-division, three-time world champion and put some good marketing behind him because nobody really cares about him as good as he is, which is all good and great. But, you know, I really think that they chose the wrong one. I'm not Greg Mendetti. I'm not Ramon Alvarez. I'm not these guys that he's been, you know, getting spoon-fed to. You know what I mean? I feel the fight with Jared Hurd and Castaño took a lot out of him. Flatten his tires a little bit, you know. So now it's just up to me just to go fight and win.
That's now it. You're definitely a force to be reckoned with, and it's a great fight. Thomas, any changes in the training camp? Are you staying in your camp at home, or are you traveling? Any difference? Any changes going on?
No.
Preparing for this?
No. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I got a different training. I got a different trainer. He who I've known for a while. He actually, you know, we've been working with each other for. He worked with me for like my last fight, you know, that I went out and when I fought Gonzalez, he worked with me, and then. But this is like our first real full time training camp together. But I've known him for a long time. Aman Elliott, Coach Elliott, his son was a very good, highly accomplished amateur, Kashad Elliott. Now he's like 1-0 as a pro. He fought on one of the top ranks, bubble shows. So really good. He knows what he's talking about. We have a good chemistry, a great chemistry actually. And what's really special to me actually is, I also brought back my first trainer that I was ever with. I turned pro with.
Oh, wow.
And I won my first 16 fights with.
Okay.
To just as the second, as the assistant, as like a, you know, as the second eye, cause like you always need that. And, you know, but Coach O, Aman Elliott, he's the head trainer. We've been in camp for a good four. This is the end of week four now. Okay. And we was working on and off for a couple of days here and there in the meantime. But, you know, it's the end of week four. And with the extra week, I got another five to go. So everything's going good. My weight's dropping. You know what I mean? I'm in the mid 170s now. So I'm not too far off from the 160. Everything is great, but I'm staying here in Jersey. You know, the weather's out and the weather outside is nice now. You know, it was cold in the beginning, but I think now with the weather coming up, it's getting nice, and you know, I'm sweating a little more, so you know, I'm not gonna have no problem.
Yo, Thomas, tell a lot of the fans that are tuned in that are like, oh wow, yo, this cat's the real deal, he's ready to go. Tell everybody how you got that cool nickname, bro, Cornflake. How'd you get that nickname? How'd that come about? Was that in your amateurs or when you became pro? When did that happen for you?
Yeah. My boy Brian gave it to me. We was in the amateurs and we was watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, were?
there's a dude on there, Cornflake, that they call Cornflake. And you know, I guess at the time it looked like me. So we was just like gunning on each other. And it stuck.
It stuck with you.
So yeah, but like it's a dope name. It's unique. Everybody 9 out of 10 people who do know me in boxing, you know, they don't know they know my name, but they never call me by my name. You know what I mean? Which is okay. It's like, you got a brand, you got a, you know, it's like, that's what it is. Like Cornflake, you know, which is pretty cool. Cause like other people, like for an example, like everybody calls Jaron Ennis Boots. You know, like he has a nickname. There's only a unique amount of people. I mean, a certain amount of people that, you know, get, like, they have ring names or whatever, but like that's what people call them, like,
right? Sure, right, you know? That's simple as that. Sure,
don't call Floyd Mayweather money, you know what I mean? Like, you don't call, I don't really hear people calling Edgar Belanga monster, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, right, like type stuff like that. So, it's pretty cool, it's cool, it stuck with me. So, I mean, it's unique, and I guess it fits me too.
Thomas, when this was announced, man, how, I mean, really, how overwhelming your fan base, man. Your phone, yeah, must have been blowing up like crazy. How awesome and humbling that is to see the overwhelming support. Like, yeah, like, I mean, people are just fired up about this fight May 1st.
It was really overwhelming. And it's like I just told you, I've known about it since mid-December. So, but then, like, and then like when I got the contract like 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh shit, like it was really here. And then when it got announced, and mind you, other than my trainers and like my family, my fiance, my mother, my dad, like all that, like, you know, the close people around me, like obviously they knew because like they just knew. But yo, when it was announced, and I was in Brooklyn on Wednesday, we were sparring, and even though the sparring partner was like, yo, how you fighting Lara? I was like, how you know?
I was like, oh. That's what's up. Right in the middle of your sparring.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa. Like, so, and then I'm getting the messages. I'm getting the text, you know, the calls. I'm getting the, you know, my social media blowing up. I'm getting like mad followers. I'm getting mad likes. Yeah. Like, it's like, and then of course, then I put it out there. And man, it, you know what, man, it really had to make me feel, it really like was an eye opener that like, yo, like Flake, it's not, now's time, you know, now's really time to change my life. It's the change of life, you know what I mean? So and then yesterday, and then more of today, right, I had like a little weird moment, where very fortunate, very blessed, and very honored to be fighting, you know, for the world title. But it hit me as a fan. As a fan, yo, I'm fighting Arislan Di Lara. Like, whoa, like, hold up. I had my fourth pro fight when he headlined against Paul Williams. I was on the undercard. I don't even know, 2012? Late 2011, whatever it was. This is somebody that I watch, and it's like, yo, I'm fighting Arislan Di Lara. I'm fighting, and then I go back on the ratings and stuff. Ring Magazine has him like top three. He's obviously champ at 54. He's Arislan Di Lara, and it's like he's fighting me. So I don't know. It's like it hit me. It hit me different. But you know, all that obviously from now until the fight, all that happy-go-lucky fan shit that gets like kind of put to the side, right. And you know, I got a job to do. Right. This is my opportunity.
May 1st, the bell rings, you're in the corner, the announcement's made of both fighters,
yeah,
and you're ready to go. In your heart and your mind, how do you see the fight playing out for yourself? Have you gave it thought? Have you visioned this? Talk to the fans. Tell us how you see the fight going.
He going out. I got to stop him. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He got to go. Smart boxing, smart pressure, you know, smart movement. At the end of the day, he, other than Paul Williams, he's never fought nobody. Oh, fucking Jared Hurd, sorry. You know, and we all seen what Jared did to him. But listen, Jared Hurd, shout out to him. Respect to Jared Hurd, but he got hit way too much. My defense is sharp. Sharp defense, smart pressure, and taking the air out them tires early. You know what I mean? I know obviously my record doesn't show like I have Mike Tyson power, You know what I mean? But obviously, anybody with 10-ounce gloves has a liable chance of putting somebody to sleep. That's obviously what he's talking about. Although I think it's all cat. I don't think it's him doing the interviews because he won't really, you know what I mean? You know, I could read body language. You could read body language, and like with the technology and Google and YouTube, you could see like he don't got killer instinct. He a dog. He's a dog. He can be a dog if he wants to. Like we've seen that with the Jared Hurd fight. We've seen it with the Castaño fight. He's a dog. And he's actually better. If you really, if you're playing that heat, he's not going to go, you know what I mean? He'll fight you. But like I said, I think he's on the back end of his career. He would opt not to fight.
Right.
Like I said, it's just smart. So how do I see the fight playing out? Smart pressure. Smart boxing. You know, it's going to be like an elite game of chess. And I'm honored to be playing it with a guy like him, you know. Because of his stature and who he is and his style, but at the end of the day, I'm putting him out. I'm putting him out. I got to.
That's what's up, champ. We really appreciate these comments, and man, I'm super excited for this fight.
Amen. The pressure's not on me. I got the one thing that I asked for, which was opportunity, and this is like my whole. This is like my whole main, what's the word? This is like the whole picture wrapped in one about this fight. Arisandy Lara calls himself the American Dream, and which is awesome because, you know, like, I don't know what it's like to defect and all that, and God bless him, right? But the facts are I'm the real American Dream. I'm not supposed to be here. I've been written off. I've been stopped. I've been hurt. I've been cut. I've been down. I quit. I retired. It was over. It was a wrap.
Right.
And this is all off the muscle stuff. People could talk about politics and connections or whatever, but at the end of the day, this boxing is in the category of entertainment. Unfortunately, it's not a sport no more, so there's nothing I could do about that. I was the one that got my number called, and it was the right number that they called me. You know what I mean? So like, so at the end of the day, I'm the real American Dream. This is America. It's the land of the opportunity. And this is my opportunity to become world champion. And I'll be damned if I'm going to let anybody take that away from me or downplay it or whatever.
Thomas, we thank you, man, for coming on the show. We know you got to hit the road and run tonight. But take a second and give a shout out to all your fans and everybody supporting you and following you. May 1st. In California, in Carson, California. What a big night of boxing. Give a shout out to your fans.
Shout out, man. I love them. I sent a picture over to Louis. You know, I got people from Jersey. They already bought like 6 tickets here, 5 tickets there. One group. My man Paul, shout out to Paul Bomba, my sponsor, Trifecta. He just opened up a new business out in LA, so he's bringing the whole crowd. My fiance got family out there. Like, I'm probably gonna have like 80 to 100 people deep from and a good like more than half of them coming from the East Coast. So my fans got me to where I'm at. My fans bought a ticket every single time I fought locally. My fans stuck with me, you know, stuck with me through ups, through downs, through everything. You know what I mean? So it's like my fans are the best. I have, you know, if you don't know, I'll tell you, I have like a huge support system here in Jersey. Like when I fight in Atlantic City, it's 200-300 people deep. You know what I mean? Like I'm what you call a ticket seller, I guess. And they're just all loyal. And like the fan base keeps growing as I keep moving up. And come May 1st, when they say I'm the new middleweight champion of the world, you know, it's going to be sky's the limit. Not only for me, but anybody that I could be a testament to, you know, it'll be sky's the limit because, you know, like doors will be kicked open. And you know what I mean? They're like, David, this is more, you don't mind if I keep talking, right? Because like,
No doubt. This is the show, man. Chop it up.
I could keep going. Yeah. So like, you know, it's more than just me winning the world title. It's more than that. It's more than, you know, me just getting an opportunity of a lifetime. It's me showcasing, oh no, I'm not showcasing, me being a testament to the young fighters that, you know, when there's a will, there's a way. As long as you never quit, you never give up, you keep working on your craft, you keep, you know, doing what you got to do outside the ring, outside the gym, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen.
I'll tell you, champ, the Dignity Health Center over there in Carson, it's outside Fishbowl. I've worked and shot Oscar Valdez fighting in the pouring rain.
Wow.
They had the tarp over the ring, and they were still fighting. That was the fight that Quigg caught him in the chin.
Broke his jaw. Yep.
Yes, and broke his jaw. In the pouring rain, all the fans, they did not leave. That's the type of crowd we're dealing with in L.A. They love their boxing. This is going to be incredible. This is such a great opportunity to fight in such a stage because, again, this is a great night of boxing, and we're really excited about it.
Facts. And I'll put it like this. It's in California. You got to fight. And it's crazy because – stylistically, me and Laura, we're two boxers. Like we're like you wouldn't categorize us as brawlers. Although I've been in a handful of brawls, in a good amount of fights in my career. So is he, fight of the year candidate. Obviously, we're heard. You know what I mean? Like he's a dog. All respect to him, but it's gonna be crazy when I know my style and I know his style when I make him turn that on, it's gonna be crazy. I gotta find out. We'll see as the time goes on if I gotta bring my track shoes or if I can stick with my Adidas boxing shoes. You know what I mean? We gonna box or fight or we gonna run? What we gonna do? You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
So I can't.
We appreciate this so much, man. We thank you for coming on with us, and we know that this is a very, very important training camp for a big fight that's coming up, and we hope after the fight we can have you come back on the show.
Absolutely.
How can the fans follow you on social media? Give everybody a shout out how they can follow you.
Oh, facts. Instagram at Official Cornflake Boxing. My Facebook, my personal is, just my name, and I have like a little fan page or whatever, Thomas Cornflake Lamana. And follow the hashtags Dark Places DP, and just the Change My Life tour hashtag Change My Life tour, because this is all it is, changing my life. After this, my life changes.
Definitely, yo! Shout out to a lot of the media, of course, Ray Flores from PBC. They're all gonna reach out to you, man.
Damn.
Boxing Voice, yep. Supreme Boxing, Front Proof Media, everybody. Will Montero, Sidestep. So many people are gonna reach out to you, and that's what it's all about, man. Build up the fight, but again, we understand how important this camp is. We understand how important this fight is. And we're delighted to spend some time with you this afternoon and talk to you.
Man, I appreciate you for having me on. And me being able to get my word out there because, as I said in the beginning, it seems as though, they're already, edging towards and giving Laura, this light, the limelight and all that because of who he is and what he's done and all that good shit. But at the end of the day, man, he got a live dog ahead of him. You know what I mean? Like he got a live, I'm coming to win. Like, damn, I'm knocking this old head out. Like it's not, I just appreciate you for allowing me to get my word out there.
Thank you, champ. We appreciate you. And we know you mean business. You're a force to be reckoned with, and you're dangerous. That's what makes this fight great. We're looking forward to it.
I'm really different. Now I'm different. Fighting for the world title, fighting this man who, is known to be like, whatever he is, top three, top five, whatever. It's an honor. That's great. But this made me different. It makes me different now.
We thank you, champ. You have a great evening. And back to training camp. We know you're very busy and we don't like to keep you on too long because we understand the magnitude and how important this is. But we appreciate the time.
I appreciate you, Damon. Thank you. Anytime, bro. Anytime.
Thank you, my brother. We'll see you fight night.
See you.
Take it easy. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to the Slip Punches show. Man, I'll tell you, La Mama Lara, May 1st in LA at Carson, California. It's going to be a great fight. We're looking forward to it. We're so happy that we got the champ to come on with us and kind of say his statements and say his words and put out there where he's at with this fight. And it's important for the sport. It's exciting because we're about building up these fights and building up these fighters, and we're looking forward to a great night of boxing. And again, Damon Gonzalez, we thank our sponsors, RX Water, and of course, Empire Pro Tape, man. Big shout out to Pueblo Boxing. We see you, brother. Looking out, man. Just looking out. So we appreciate you tuning in this evening. And this is Damon Gonzalez from Latin Box Sports. We'll be talking to you soon. Have a good evening.